I want to talk about being on track today. I want to talk about that from the standpoint of what God has for me and what God has for you. Everybody is on track to get someplace sooner or later. No matter where you are, no matter what track you're running on today, if you stay on that track, you're going to eventually get to a destination. So everybody's headed someplace. Everybody is on some kind of a track. If you're in the military, you're conscious of the fact that there are promotional tracks that you want to be aware of. And if you want to make progress in your career, you have to monitor that. You have to check that. Are you on track to pick up the next rank? Are you on track to achieve the goals that you have? A train will not be able to go any place or do any good unless there's a track for it to run on. I've never seen a train on Interstate 95. There's a lot of cars there, but there's no trains because there are no tracks. And if we're going to get somewhere that there is in our Christian life, we're going to have to be on track with God. And the Bible tells us that there is a prearranged and preset track that God has for each individual, and God has us in a place where we can hear His voice and we can receive the direction that we need in order to be where we need to be and be on track to accomplish what God has willed for our lives. The Bible says, for we are His workmanship, His masterwork, His masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus, reborn from above, spiritually transformed, renewed, and ready to be used for good works, which God prepared for us beforehand, taking paths which He set, so that we would walk in them, living the good life which He prearranged and made ready for us. I know that one of the goals that I had early in life, early in my Christian life, was to get on track with God and stay on track with God so that I could have confidence as I moved through my life that even when difficulties came and even when persecution came or trials came, I would at least know one thing, that I was on the track that God had prepared for me. Amen. And if I was going to suffer, I wanted to know that I'm not suffering because I'm in the wrong place doing the wrong thing. If I'm suffering, it's because I'm being attacked by the devil or I'm being attacked by others, but I'm not in the wrong place. I'm not on the wrong track, but I am where I'm supposed to be. I'm headed in the direction that I'm supposed to head. And that has been a lifelong goal for me. That has been something that I care about, and I've cared about that since I was a teenager. It's been an important thing for me. And I got on track at the age of 12 when I gave my heart to Christ and received Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And when I got saved at the age of 12, my life began to change completely. And I began to experience God for real. And I began to think about my future differently. And it was because I gave my life to Jesus. The track, literally, is a person. You can't do anything that will fulfill your purpose or your destiny, the reason that you're here, without Christ. But with Christ, all things are possible. Amen. And when you come to know Him in a way that isn't religious, but it is life-giving and it's personal, then that's when you begin to experience the direction of God, and you begin to start tracking. And you feel like, for the first time in my life, I feel like I kind of know where I'm going. I feel like I know where I'm headed. And even at the age of 12, ultimately, I knew I was headed for heaven. I didn't know exactly what was going to happen in between 12 and heaven, but I knew that I was on track. Life was going to be different. So it's not a career path. It's not a promotion path. It's not a prosperity path. I'm following the path that will lead me to the money. It was all about Christ. It was all about Jesus from that point on and trusting Him to lead me and to guide me. The path that God directed me in was not a path that I chose. Until the age of 12, I thought, well, that's what I'm going to do. And even after the age of 12, I sort of just assumed that that's probably what I would do. I would be a doctor for Jesus, and I would be a doctor that would serve the Lord and share the gospel with people, but I would minister to sick bodies, and I was fascinated with that and had a real drive to learn and to go in that particular direction. But it was after my first year in college that I began to understand that that was not going to happen. I was not going to get a degree in pre-med and go on to medical school because God had other plans for me. But because at the age of 12, I had determined that I wanted to follow Christ, I knew that if I followed him, I would be on track. And if the path diverged, if the tracks separated, and I'm thinking I should go this way, and Jesus is taking me this way, then I had begun to practice as a teenager following the Lord. When other classmates were going on this track that involved things that I knew were ungodly, I was at a crossroads. I could follow Christ and follow the track that he had for my teenage years, which did not include all the things that my high school classmates were involving themselves in. They were on a completely different track. They were on a party track. They were on a promiscuity track. They were on a track that was leading really to death and destruction. And there were parts of me that oftentimes felt that I was sort of missing out on my teenage years, that I was growing up and maturing. I was like an old man when I was 15. You know, I was behaving responsibly. I was acting maturely. And then there were times when I was still on the inside, felt like I'm just a kid. I'm just a kid. Can't I have fun like everybody else has fun? But I knew that if I wanted to stay on track, that I was going to have to follow Jesus. And I was going to have to stick with him. And that meant that sometimes my friends, they took off this way, and I had to keep following Jesus in a completely different direction. And I can just tell you, looking back now, and it's been some time now since I was 12, I can just tell you that I have absolutely no regrets. I do not miss what I missed. I don't miss what I missed. Not at all. Not at all. I'm thankful. I'm just praising God today. I chose to follow what he spared me from, because I got on track early, and I chose to follow the Lord early. The track that God had for me was a track that I couldn't have created for myself. I couldn't have imagined for myself. It was a track I didn't choose. It was a track that God chose for me. And because I chose Christ, then automatically along with choosing Christ, I chose the track that he had for me. Amen. If you've chosen Christ and received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, it's more than just your ticket to heaven. You've chosen the way of life that God prearranged and preset for you. The track was preset before you ever got saved. But now that you are saved, now that is the track that God has called us to. That's the track he called me to. That's the track he's called you to. There is no difference. There are no respecter of person. There's a fugitive from justice right there, just running by. There's no track that you can pick set for you can compete with the plan that God arranged for you and set for you before you were ever born. There's only one time back. There's not a divided track. It's not like I'm on a certain track when I'm preaching and I'm in the pulpit, and then after I come down from the pulpit, then I'm on a different track at home, or I'm on a different track when I'm away from home. Whether I'm in Jacksonville with my wife living in my own home, or whether I'm in a hotel someplace in Northern Virginia, I'm on the same track. I don't have three separate tracks that I run on. Amen. Where you have to wonder, what track's he on today? And everybody that's on my staff knows when I walk in the office, I'm on track, and I'm on the same track that I was on last week. And I'm not going to be bumped around and moved around by emotion or circumstances. So when you look at this, you see that Christ is the track we want to be running on. I don't have to be wasting a whole lot of my imagination and a whole lot of my brain cells trying to pick a track or choose a track or create a track for myself in my future. All I need to do is find Christ. When I find him, he's already set the track for me, and I just need to stick with him. It's not one I chose. It's one he chose for me, knowing best what I was created for in the first place. Amen. And I'm not saying that you can't do all kinds of good things, but I don't want, there's a ton of good things. I want to do the thing. Amen. That God created me to do. I want to be the person that Jesus died on the cross to redeem, so that I would be the blessing to the world and the blessing to others that God planned before I was ever born. I want to be on the track that was preset. I don't want to be making it up as I go along and laying track as I go along and trying to navigate through life, trying to figure it out myself. and just doing a survey of the world and trying to survey the landscape and say, well, I think it would be good to put the track here, or I think it would be good to put the track there. If you're doing that, then I want to challenge that today and just say, listen, that's something that you're capable of doing because you have a will, and God gave you lots of abilities and lots of talents and lots of willpower, but I'm just telling you that at the end of the day, you're not going to end up in the same place. The place that God has for you to end up, it follows that is going to be at the end of the track that he also laid for you. If you lay your own track, you're going to end up somewhere, but it isn't going to be the destination that God had planned for you. And I don't know how you feel, but I feel that God has the very best for me. Never going to be disappointed. According to his word, according to my experience, I feel if I follow his path, I'm never going to be disappointed. I'm always going to be glad that I chose Christ, that I chose his plan, his path that he preset for me. And up till this point in life, my testimony is amen to all that I'm saying. That I wouldn't take anything back. I wouldn't trade anything. I wouldn't want to. I have done things and experienced things and been blessed in ways that I never could have imagined. And if I had been planning my life, it wouldn't have been even half as good as it's already been, and it's not even hardly half over. Amen? Amen. I'm going to live to be old. All right? So how do I get on track? We just mentioned that. You get on track by having a real life-changing experience with Christ. So there are people that come to church, but they don't necessarily have an experience with the Lord that changes their life. The average churchgoer today goes to church 1.7 times a month. 1.7 times a month. And it's just the culture that we live in, that church has been marginalized. Sunday is not Sunday anymore. Sunday was reserved for God in our culture. That's no longer the case. Now it's about soccer, it's about shopping, it's about sleeping in, it's about all different types of things. You all are here today, so you are all exceptions to what is the norm in our culture today. And that says a lot. But even just coming to church is not a substitute for knowing Christ and being able to hear his voice. Jesus said, my sheep know my voice, and they hear my voice, and they follow me. And they don't follow this one, they don't follow that one, they follow me. Sometimes people will try to determine what track they should run on based on people inviting them to do something. Well, I have an opportunity. Somebody said something to me, and so I think I'm going to listen to their voice, them, to speak to you, and you don't hear his voice confirming their voice, then it's just another one of the millions of voices that are clamoring for your attention. So I want to hear his voice, and I want to follow the voice of my shepherd. Sometimes people will go according to open doors. I've always sort of suspected that the devil, not being stupid, and I don't want to pursue the Lord so that I can have an intimate relationship with him, sufficient to be able to recognize his voice. I recognize my wife's voice. My wife recognizes my voice, and it's because we have an intimate relationship with one another, and we have pursued that for the last 37 years. So if I don't want to have that, but yet I want to be blessed and I want to fulfill purpose and destiny, and I want to be frustrated, I want to kind of try to please God as much as I can, but I'm not really seeking him on a day-to-day basis. And the devil sees that the only way that I'm going to be led, or the only way that I'm going to move along through life, is through open doors. Open doors are not necessarily the same as the track that God's laid for you. Amen. And if the devil knows that you operate on the basis of open doors, guess what? He'll open some doors for you. And you'll say, well, there was an open door. The door was open. There are people that will be constantly looking for someone to confirm things. And they'll take this as a sign, and they'll take that as a sign. And I know the Bible deals in signs. But the fact is, God wants us to develop a relationship with him so that signs are not the primary thing. Open doors are not the primary thing. But the life that we're living and the track that we're on is the result of hearing his voice. Amen. I've walked with him, I've sought him, and he's directing me with his voice. God is not impersonal so as to say, I'm not going to talk to you, I'm just going to let you guess whether or not this open door is the right one. That's not how he's going to operate. God is going to speak to us. God is going to develop within us the capacity and the spiritual ear to be able to hear him and to be able to receive from him so that we will know that we know we're on the right track. There are so many different things that are going to happen to you and are going to happen to me. And we're going to have to know that, because there's going to have to be an ear like right here where you really hear what the Lord is saying. With this ear, you might hear lots of noise. With these ears, you might hear lots of criticism. You might hear a lot of people expressing opinions. You yourself might hear your own self expressing doubts and fears. But whatever this ear hears down here, that's going to be the thing from your inner man where you'll have the confirmation. Man, I'm scared, and I hear fearful thoughts, and I hear fearful voices, but there's a voice down here speaking into my spirit that is confirming to me, this is the way, walk in it.
Amen.
And you'll stay the course, and you won't be shaky, and you won't be jumping back and forth from one opinion to the other and swayed by circumstances or swayed by trials and difficulties, because God will keep you on track. Even if it's tough, when the track's been laid for us, God will make a way, and you'll be able to plow through it no matter what's there. I kind of get the picture of our life oftentimes being like that old-fashioned steam engine with the cow catcher on the front. And no matter what gets in front of that thing, if that train's got a head of steam, it'll just shove the obstacles right out of the way. As long as you're on the track, God will give you the strength and the power and the momentum to be able to even overcome tremendous obstacles, and you'll be able to do it by the power of the Holy Ghost if you're on track. When you're not on track, then you just do not have the confidence or the faith to stay the course. You just don't even know for sure if you should be doing it or if it's right or if it's whatever, and you'll be in a position where it'll be easy for you to be knocked off course. So God wants to help us to be able to understand that. I'm going to read a scripture that this is how God works with us, and this is from the Passion Translation of the Bible, and it's just Psalm 23 from a perspective that maybe you haven't heard before. The Lord is my best friend and my shepherd. I always have more than enough. He offers a resting place for me in his luxurious love. His tracks take me to an oasis of peace, the quiet brook of bliss. That's where he restores and revives my life. He opens before me pathways to God's pleasure and leads me along in his footsteps of righteousness, circular paths so that I can bring honor to his name. In the footnote related to the sheep following the Lord, there's an interesting thought. Sheep on a hillside will circle upward until they reach the top. They will circle upward until they reach the top. Sometimes when we're going around and around certain types of things, we feel like we're not really on track or we're not really making very much progress. But as long as we keep following the Lord, we're circling, and we're not spiraling downward, we're circling upward. So that each step that we take following our shepherd will lead us higher, even though sometimes it may seem that we're going in circles. And I've felt that way many times. I've felt that way even recently as we've been going through a 10-year process to try to get a new building built. And we needed the new building 10 years ago. And we still haven't even poured the foundation, but it's coming. But each step that we've taken following the Lord has circled us upward. And we've been going around. And it's like, where are we this year? We're kind of right back where we were before, but we're just a little bit higher. And then we'd circle back around. Well, where are we? Are we in the new building yet? No, we're not in the new building yet. But we've covered a little bit more ground. And it wasn't in a straight line, and it wasn't in a leap ahead, but it was following Jesus and following him year after year and following the track that he'd laid for us. And the truth is, we've made progress. We're higher now and further along than we were before, even though it seems like we've been going around and around this mountain for 10 years. God's getting us positioned, and pretty soon we're going to be at the top.
Amen.
Pretty soon we're going to be at the top. And the reason for that is not because of 10 years. The reason for that is because all during these 10 years we've been on track with the Lord. And all during these 10 years we've been letting the Good Shepherd lead us. And he's leading us higher. And if you will allow him to lead you, and if I will allow him to continue to lead me, we're not going to go down, we're going to go up.
Amen.
And we're going to go to higher ground. And we're going to reach the goal, and we're going to reach the place that God has destined for us. Amen?
Amen?
So, how do I stay on track? You stay on track by just simply following the Holy Spirit every day. Sometimes people think that the only reason to be baptized in the Holy Ghost is so that you can be expressive and you can run around and get excited, raise your hands and yell and be Pentecostal and speak in tongues. And I'm not against raising my hands, and I'm not against yelling, I'm not against speaking in tongues or any of those things. I'm for all of that. I do all of that. But I want the Holy Spirit to be able to speak to me and lead me. And I want Him to live inside of me so that He will be able to keep me where I need to be. The Bible says, for all who are allowing themselves to be led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. Everybody that's a child of God, that's allowing himself or herself to be led by the Holy Spirit, is really demonstrating the fact that they truly are a child of God. Not because they shout, not because they jump, not because they raise their hands, but because they're being led by the Holy Ghost. They're on track. They're on track. God wants my life to be on track, whether I'm doing ministry, whether I'm doing marriage, whether I'm doing my home life, whether I'm doing recreation, whether I'm traveling, no matter what I'm doing, I can stay on track if I will be led by the Holy Spirit. And I can't just come to church and be on the track on Sunday. I want to stay on the track so that Monday morning I'm still on track. And Tuesday morning I'm still on track. And whether I'm home or away from home, I'm still on track. And everybody that knows me can be confident that I'm running on the track that God has laid for me. And they can be sure of that, and they can know that that's the case. The Bible says, but I say, walk habitually in the Holy Spirit, seek Him, and be responsive to His guidance, and then you will certainly not carry out the desires of the sinful nature, which responds impulsively without regard for God and for His precepts. It's very easy for us, even in a moment in life, in our normal life, to get off track because somebody said something or because something happened. You could be in a store and something could happen. You could go out in the parking lot. Somebody could bump into your car, and all of a sudden, you lose track of God. You're not tracking with God anymore because somebody bumped into your car. And so the real test of our faith then becomes, in all circumstances, in every situation, am I growing and progressing in this area where I can look back and say, you know, just a few months ago or maybe a few years ago, if I had walked out in the parking lot and I saw somebody do that, this would be my reaction. I would have gotten completely off the track because of acting out that. But that's not happening these days. I'm not losing my temper like that. I'm not acting out that way. I don't talk like I used to talk. I don't treat with God or my spouse the way that I used to treat them. I'm staying on track with God more closely and more perfectly in all the areas of my life, because all of us are sort of schizophrenic, aren't we? You know, we're the people that our coworkers know at work, and they say, well, if they were to describe you, they would say, well, this is the type of person that this individual is. But then if your kids were to describe you, the description would be different. Or your spouse were to describe you, it would be different, or your extended family. And so we all have these different things, but the thing that God wants to help us with is to be consistent throughout life. Amen. So our life is seamless. So whether you're if you're in the Marine Corps or you're in the military or you work in government service, regardless of what you do, you are on track with God every place you go, in every situation of your life, with every person that you're in a relationship with, you stay on track with God. You're led by the Holy Spirit, guided by the Spirit of God. And tracking that way makes things real and makes our life powerful. We have to guard against the things that sidetrack us. There are things that will sidetrack us, and I'm mentioning some of those things. If you get overcome with the spirit of fear, I think the spirit of fear, the longer I live and the more I study and the more I just experience life and observe people, the more I think that the spirit of fear is sort of like the secret enemy behind just about every kind of human suffering that you can imagine. And there are people that will just do all kinds of crazy things because of the spirit of fear. People say, well, I'm going to commit suicide because I'm depressed. But I'm convinced that it's not so much depression. That's the attempt to, the person's certainly sad, but I think that what will drive people oftentimes to suicide is fear. And so that fear will drive them. The fear will say, it's better for you to just get out of here. You just need to end your life and put an end to this. And fear is the driving force. There was a family in South America recently that I read about that were so frightened by global warming reports that the entire family committed suicide. A couple and their children, because they believed that things were just going to be destroyed by global warming, and fear drove them to death, and that's what they were driven by. So fear will cause you to sidetrack. If you're afraid to step out and do what God's called you to do, afraid to follow the track that God's called you to follow, fear will take you on a sidetrack. And I've battled it my whole life. I don't know about you. Have you been afraid? Has there ever been an opportunity, or have you ever thought that maybe God was speaking to you and fear would not allow you to respond? Fear was so powerful. Fear was such a great force in your life that you just didn't do it. You just didn't even try. Maybe it was an opportunity to compete for a job at work, and it was posted, and immediately you looked at it, and something down here leaped up at you, and that was probably the Lord saying, "Go for it." And then the next thing that happened is fear kicked in, and you began to be afraid that what if I can't do it? What if I don't pass? What if I have to take tests? What if this happens? What if I'm embarrassed? What if I look stupid? And instead of stepping out in faith, fear caused you to take a sidetrack, and nobody knows that you're on a sidetrack but you. Nobody knows, because you still look good, you're still going along, and yet you know that fear has caused you to go this way, and faith was calling you to go that way. But I don't know that, and maybe nobody in your life knows that, except the Holy Spirit knows that he was working with you. I was talking to someone on the phone the other day, and they had a chance to grow their business. But all the fears about what would happen if they did, what if I step out, it'll cost me money, I'll have to hire people, I'm comfortable now, there's this, there's that, there's competition, and all different types of things. And so instead of taking the track that God was laying out for them, fear rises up and begins to drive them in a different direction. And they follow fear instead of following the Holy Spirit in faith. Pride will do that to us. Greed will do that. People will be sidetracked by money. And instead of serving God and saying, "God, I'm going to trust you to take care of me. I'm not going to make decisions based strictly on money." Money's not bad. Prosperity's not bad. Increase is not bad. But money is not a substitute for the Lord's voice. Amen. And we need to follow him more than we need money. Amen? He's promised to take care of us. And if we'll put him first, he'll add all of that stuff unto us. But we need to follow his leading, follow the leading of the Holy Ghost, and not allow greed to be the ruling force and the track that we're running on, a track of just material things. Deception will do it. Logic will do it. Logic is a powerful force. It's just our minds work nonstop, 24/7, trying to figure things out. And if I try to go by logic and run on the logical track, if I was doing that, I wouldn't be where I am today. I wouldn't have done any of the things that I've done. I wouldn't have had any of the experiences, have been able to do any of the good that I've done, because none of the things that I've accomplished in life have been because I was logical. The only good things that I can see are things that I accomplished because God is good, and God's ways are higher than my ways, and I just stayed on track with him. Wrong priorities. Sometimes people will get off the track because they'll try to please somebody else instead of pleasing God. I've seen young people do that. I've seen young people that are on track with God, and then they'll get into a romantic relationship, and the romantic relationship will sidetrack them from the purposes of God. And and it doesn't just happen to young people. It can happen to anybody. I've seen people that were on fire for God, serving God, and they were in a situation where they were lonely and where they were needy, and they just were overwhelmed. The devil was able to see that and put an irresistible temptation in front of them. And now all of a sudden the things of God take a back seat to this new relationship. And this person doesn't have a hunger for God. And this person doesn't have a respect for God. This person isn't saved. But yet they're right there. They're meeting certain needs. And so all of a sudden now that individual will be sidetracked, and they'll be sidetracked by a relationship. And when people get into that mindset, it's very difficult for you to talk to them, isn't it? It's very difficult for anybody to say, "Listen, this relationship's not good for you because the person that's experiencing that relationship feels that it's meeting their needs. And yet the greatest need that we have is to stay on track with the Lord. Because along the way, God has supplied all of our needs. And if we'll stay on that track, every good thing, every blessed thing, things that God wants to give me and things that God wants to give you, and there's no regret tied to it. There's no downside to it. There's no problem with it whatsoever. What he has stored up ourselves to get sidetracked, the devil certainly has stored up some surprises for us too. And there's some things that look good, and they feel good, but in the end they're not good because they're not on the track that God has laid for us. And so the devil, obviously hating us, wants to deceive us, wants to disguise the fact that the track that he's laid is a track that ends in destruction and death. He wants to disguise that and dress it up and advertise it and promote it and make us feel good about it, even though it isn't good. And so this is where we have to really stick close to the Lord, and we have to stick close to each other, because you and I can help each other out. Amen? If you're surrounded by people that love God and that love you and are committed in faith and who believe that God does lead people, does speak to people, does have plans, then we can stay on predetermined before we were ever born. If we commit to that together, then we can stay on track together easier than we can stay on track by ourselves. Amen? You isolate a person and they can easily be bumped off the track. But you get a person together with a whole bunch of other people, and it's very difficult for you to do much with that individual. Have you ever seen any of cutting horses? Do you know what a cutting horse is? It's a horse that is especially trained to go into a herd of cows and pick one and separate it from the herd. And the cow will fight like crazy to try to stick with the herd and stay back with the herd. But that cutting horse is so skilled and so quick and so good. It's Google it sometime and watch how these guys work. It's a phenomenon. But they will work those cattle until they cut one of them out, and when they get one of them separated from the herd, then it's over. Then it's over. And they can do whatever they want. Predators do that as well. A pack of wolves will do that. Separate out from the herd a young one, or a weak one, or an old one. Pick on one particular individual, separate it from the herd, and once they separate it from the herd, that's it right there. No problem. You'll see it in you know, documentaries about lions and predators, you know, in Africa and places like that, and you could see it here in North America with wolves, and that's how they operate. So the devil would like to separate you from this in any way that he possibly could. That's why you need to really rethink your priorities too, and just ask yourself, is 1.7 times a month really enough for me to stay on track, to get together with like-minded people and worship the Lord together? And is it really enough for me to stay on track? And I know that for me it wouldn't be. I'd start drifting off the track if I only went to church 1.7 times a month. I need to be in fellowship with people like you more often, and not less often. Amen? And some of that's even a little bit selfish, because it's good for me. It helps me. It encourages me. It holds me accountable. It makes it hard for me to drift. If I go 3 weeks without going to church, guess what? I'm going to be drifting. Yep. I'm going to be drifting. I'm not going to be in the same place that I was 3 weeks ago. I need consistent realignment so that I'll stay right where I need to be, tracking with what God has for me. Amen? Amen? So, how do I get back on track if I hit a stumbling block? When people hit stumbling blocks, sometimes they get bumped off the track. And how do I do that? You do that by just simply believing that God is bigger than whatever it was that you tripped over. Just believe that God is so that you can be enough to be able to set you back up on your feet and get you back on track so that you can begin moving forward again in the plan that God has for you. All of these years that have passed since I was 12 and got saved, many times, I've hit obstacles on the path. I've been derailed, you know, countless times, in one way or the other. Just in one way or the other, things hit us, and it seems like all of a sudden the train just comes to a halt, and it just seems like, you know, how am I going to get back on track now after this happened? How am I going to get back on track now after that happened? And there have been times when it just didn't look like it was possible. How are we going to continue on with our lives? I can remember years ago when my wife and I first left Brazil to come back to the United States to plant a church. We worked for 4 years to plant a church and never could get it going. We just could never, we never have this that I'm looking at today. We never had anything like this. It just never took off at all. There were times, many times, when it was just us. We handed out one time 2,000 invitations door to door for a special meeting, and not one person came, which defies all statistics. You're supposed to be able to get at least, we should have got how many based on statistics? We should have had at least 20. 1% should have turned up, and we struck out totally. And it just became apparent that something needed to change. And so during that time, we came to the conclusion that we were just going to stop having church services. And we did. At that point, it seemed like we were derailed, that our whole spiritual life had ground to a halt, and all of our work and all of our efforts and all of our confidence in the call of God on our lives to do ministry had come to a screeching halt. Got us back up and running, and we've been running full steam ever since. I couldn't have imagined how he was going to do it. I couldn't have made the choices or picked the direction. God chose all of that. We were just, if we had any smarts at all, it was just enough to recognize his voice and to follow him. We were smart enough, just smart enough to know God is speaking. You just need to be smart enough to know that. Is God talking? Yes, he is. What's he saying? And just do that, whatever it is. If you're smart enough to do that, and everyone in the room is, you can get back on track with God. If you've gotten off, you know what God wants for you more than anything else in the world? God wants for you to get back on. Amen. It's like getting bucked off a horse. The thing that God wants you to do is just mount up and keep going. Amen? Amen. Don't stay there. Don't believe that it's the end of the world. Don't believe that nobody else has ever failed or ever made a mistake or ever sinned or ever gotten off. No, those are all lies. It's not that these things happen to us. It's what we do after they happen. It's how committed you are to the track that God has for you. Do you love that enough? Do you love Jesus enough and love the path and the track that he's set for you enough? No matter how embarrassed, no matter how discouraged, no matter how humiliated you might feel, that you weren't perfect and you didn't do it, you didn't do the right thing, you were stupid, whatever it was, get over that as quick as you can. All of us go through that. So just put it aside as fast as you can. If it takes you a day and you can lay it aside in a day, do it in a day. If it takes you a month, do it in a month. If it takes you a year or two, whatever, that's a long time. But if that's what it takes, just get it out of your system and then get back with God and say, God, I know that if I will admit my sins, if I will confess my sins, you're faithful and just to forgive me of my shortcomings and my sins and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. And God will set us back up on our feet, dust us off, and get us right back on track again. The Bible says, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and falling into sin and present you unblemished, blameless, and faultless in the presence of his glory with triumphant joy and unspeakable delight, to the only God our Savior through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and power before all time and now and forever. He is able to set us back on track no matter what has happened. Amen. No matter how much time has elapsed, it doesn't matter. There are people that got off track years ago, and maybe you've been on track for you've been off the track for decades. God never gives up. The track that he has set for you and set for me, he's not going to put another train on that track. That's your track. It's my track is mine. Your track is yours. God loves it. God is jealous for you to get on it and get going. And I'm telling you, if you get on it today, I don't care if you've wasted half your life. God will fast track you into the future. And you are going to accomplish great and mighty things. And don't be logical about it and say, well, it's a waste of time. Who said it was a waste of time? Not God. Amen. You're not a waste of time. God loves you. God didn't waste his time planning the destination for you and planning the track for you. He didn't waste it. He didn't throw it away because you had a problem or you were weak. He knows that. He understands that. And so God just simply waits and watches and calls and says, come back to me, come back to me, trust me, and I'll get you set up again. And you could be a middle-aged person, and because of God's grace on your life, you could accomplish things that other people who aren't walking with the Lord wouldn't even dream of accomplishing if they lived 100 years. And God will help us if we'll trust him. He is able to do exceeding abundantly above that which we could ask or think. So you and I may stumble off the track, but every time we do, God is going to be faithful. God is going to be gracious to show us that we're off the track, to forgive us when we admit it and recognize, Lord, I'm not where I need to be. I know that I'm not where I need to be. Sometimes we're not where we need to be because of other people. Sometimes we're not where we need to be because we did something. We made a choice. We messed up. It doesn't really matter who's to blame. Sometimes we waste an awful lot of time trying to figure out who's at fault. And that's not really the point anymore. After a while, it really doesn't matter anymore. We just need to release forgiveness to people that have sinned against us, receive forgiveness from God because we've sinned, and we need to say, Lord, the important thing is for me to get back on track with my calling and my purpose and my destiny. I want to be on track with you. So, God, will you be merciful to me and put me back up, upright again, and set me up on track so that I can keep going and do what you've called me to do and be who you've called me to be. And I'm just telling you that I don't care what it is. God loves you so much, and God is so committed to you following that path that he preset for you, that he prearranged for you before experience, that you're going to experience extraordinary grace, and you're going to experience extraordinary, like supernatural help. And I've just seen things turn around so fast. There have been times in my life when I've looked back and say, God, I spent so much time on this track, and it didn't seem like it went anywhere. But I've seen God redeem the time. Amen. And I've seen God do things quickly and cause things to grow quickly and go forward quickly. And I've seen that in my own life, and I've seen it in the lives of others. But it's God's grace in response to our faith, in response to our humility, in response to our confidence in him, and our recognition that, God, what you plan for me is so much greater than what I plan for myself, that I'm willing to do what you've called me to do, and I'm willing to follow the track that you've set for me. So whatever your ambitions are, make the number one ambition of your life to be on track with what God prepared for you before you were ever born. And it doesn't matter what your degree is in, doesn't matter what your job is, doesn't matter any of those types of things. This is where it all starts, right here. And I'm not saying that God is even going to change a whole lot of stuff radically in your life. If you're in a certain job, I'm not saying that God is going to move you out of that job. I'm not saying that he's going to, all of a sudden, you're just going to wake up one morning and you're going to be in a completely different city, or you're going to be in a completely different area of service. But God will begin to work in your life, and he'll begin to get you on track internally first. And as you get on track internally, then that's going to work itself out in every other area of your life. Years ago, when I was in high school, we had a young guy that graduated from Bible college, and he came back to our hometown. He was raised there, and I had known him as a kid growing up. But he graduated from Bible college, he came back to our hometown, and he became our youth pastor. And he was our youth pastor during some real exciting times when God was doing some incredible things in our community, and there was a lot of revival among the young people. And our youth group was really big, it was really powerful. It was sort of like the thing to do in our little farming community, and everybody was drawn to it, everybody was attracted to it. It influenced all the kids that I went to high school in a huge way. It influenced teachers, it influenced the school system. It was a tremendous time that was unique in the history of that little community. And he was a part of that, and he was involved in that. And after I left and went to college, I kind of lost track of him a little bit, and he left and went out on the road. He was a musician, and so he and his wife were singing, and they were touring, and they were singing the gospel and preaching the gospel in churches all around the country and traveling together with their two little daughters. And then the next thing I heard was that he was no longer, he had gotten into a career as an attorney. He went back to school and he became an attorney. And I can remember being saddened by that and feeling hurt by that's kind of how his life was going and the direction that he was heading in. It seemed like he was on track with God when I was in high school, and he helped us to get on track. I don't know how that happened. Sometimes something must have happened and he just got off track. And I don't know how that happened. Sometimes people get disappointed because their ministry's not received the way they want it to be received. Sometimes the thing that they're doing isn't what they thought it was going to be. They aren't able to make a living, and maybe he got bitter, maybe he got disappointed, maybe he decided that if he wasn't going to be able to support his family, if he wasn't making enough money, you know, doing church work, that he would just have to take matters into his own hands. And so he went to law school and he was going to become a lawyer and he was going to find a way to make some money and have a better career. And he became career-minded instead of being mindful of the call of God on his life. He lost track of the call and started thinking about his career. I don't know what happened because I didn't have contact with him after this. But I just know that a couple of years ago, the news came that he had been involved in what must have been some kind of an illegal scam in investments that involved in a huge amount of money that he was able to pocket. And he was being investigated by the Federal Trade Commission. And so they were looking into his activities. And I think that there were some things coming down as far as an indictment for some crimes, financial crimes that he had committed, you know, what they call white collar crime. And it involved hundreds of thousands of dollars, almost $1 million. And he skipped the country. And he wound up in South America. And he wound up being a guy known for being a big spender. And he wound up being a guy that was known for always being surrounded by young girls. And the next thing that we heard was that he was missing. And then the next thing that we heard was that they had found him. And he was buried under 6 feet of concrete in a home, and they dug up his body, and he'd been murdered for his money. One of the girls that he hooked up with introduced him to a man who was supposed to be a relative, but it was really her boyfriend, and they concocted a scheme to show him an investment property in another state in that South American country. And so they got him in the car and got him out of town, and they took him to a prearranged numbers and all the codes that were necessary for them to get the money. And then they killed him and they buried him 6 feet under. And that's how he ended up. Somewhere along the line, he got off the track, and he got on a track that he thought was a good one for himself. And because he got off the track, places that you never even imagined. And you couldn't even imagine that at the end of the line would be premature death, would be shame and suffering and disgrace. He still has 2 daughters. He still has grandkids who are left to pick up the pieces and know all the details about how their dad and their grandpa ended his life. And it all started with a guy who was on track one moment, in one season of his life, and then for whatever reason, got sidetracked. And once he got sidetracked, it just simply ended abruptly. It ended suddenly, and it didn't end well. And I know that God loves us, and I know that God is merciful, God is gracious, but I also know that the devil goes about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And so God has called us to take this thing about being on track seriously. And God has laid the track for us already so that we can go through life and we can have victory and we can have the success that God has planned for us. We can accomplish great things. We can be a huge blessing in the earth, and we can have confidence to know that because we stayed on track with God, even though there were trials, there were difficulties, there were times when we were under attack, there were times when we were confused, times when we were afraid, but we stayed the course and we stayed on track, we'll have the tremendous satisfaction of knowing that we lived the life that God planned for us. which is the best life. Amen. It is the blessed life. And that's the life that God has called you to, and that's the life that God has called me to. And I want to stay on that track now more than ever. Amen? I've been on it for a long time, but it's more important to me today than it's ever been. I just realized that I could get sidetracked in a moment and destroy all the things that I've worked for and everything that I've done for the last 40 years. It would just take just splitting off just a little bit and getting off track, even just a step. If you get off just a step and you keep stepping, to find it. 20 years from now, you'll be so far away from the track that God laid for you, you won't even be able to find it. Mm-hmm. You won't even be able to see it. You won't even know where it is. And so God's called us daily to walk with Him, to be guided by His Spirit, to start by giving our heart to Christ, and then continue to walk in the Spirit of Jesus for the rest of our lives so that we'll be able to experience the good and the perfect and the acceptable will of God. Let's bow our heads and we'll pray. Father, we thank You for Your grace now today to help us and strengthen us. And we praise You, Lord, for Your mercy. And we thank You, Lord, that You're extending that today to each person. And so we're confident, Lord, in Your power to deal with us in every circumstance, in every situation of life.
Yes, Jesus.
In every situation of life. With your head bowed and your eyes closed, the first person that I want to speak to today is the one that cannot relate to ever having a point in life where they started with Jesus. There's such a difference between knowing who Jesus is and actually being born again and having an experience with God where you know that you're saved and you begin to have a life change and spiritually you come alive. And if you've never had that experience with the Lord, that's where it all starts. The track, as I said in the beginning, is not a career. It's a person. It's Jesus. It's Christ. When you receive Christ, that's the moment that you get on track with God. And if you've never done that, I want to pray with you today, because this is your day to get on track. If that's you, just raise your hand. Pastor, pray for me. I want to get on track today. I want to know the Lord the way that the way that you're talking about. I want to know the Lord the way you came to know Him when you were 12 years old. If that's you, just raise your hand. Pastor, I want to know Him that way. I want to give my life to Christ today. And then I want to talk to anybody that just, after hearing what we've talked about today, you are ready to renew your commitment to be on track and stay on track. I want to be on track, Lord, and I want to stay on track. And if that's you, then I just want you to stand. You just say, Lord, I want to be on the track that You've preset for me. And I want to be on that track, and I want to stay on that track. And you may be very confident right now that you're on it, that you're on that track, and that's great. So let's just ask God to bless you, to constantly guide you and lead you so that you stay right where you need to be. We want to right where you need to be. And that's where we want to see every person. So Lord, I release Your blessing over each one now in the mighty name of Jesus. The blessing of tracking with God. Yes. What a blessing that is, of knowing that I'm in the will of God, of knowing that I'm walking in the path of righteousness that He has preset for me. And I release that blessing over your life right now in Jesus' mighty name. That you wouldn't trade anything for it, that you wouldn't be sidetracked by fear, you wouldn't be sidetracked by deception, you wouldn't be sidetracked by others, but you'd stay on track with God in the mighty name of Jesus. And Lord, I thank You that as people are tracking with You, You encourage them, and Lord, You renew their strength, and Father, You cause them to have an acceleration, Lord, and that You bless them and refresh them, and Lord, You lead them to those places along the track where You have stored all of the resources that will keep them going and keep them going strongly. Lord, whatever it is, if it's finances, Lord, we release those now in the name of Jesus so that they can stay on track. Yep. Lord, if it's healing for their body, we release that healing now so that they can stay on track. We're not going to let disease sidetrack us, and we're not going to let something like money, sidetrack us, Lord, yes. in the name of Jesus. Mm-hmm. Whatever it might happen to be, if it's an emotional thing, if it's an inner wound that has to do with their past and something that wounded them or hurt them, Lord, we're not going to let the sins of others and the mistakes of the past sidetrack us today. Lord, we choose to stay on track with you. And Lord, we blast that in the name of Jesus yes. and command its power to be broken so that men and women can go confidently forward into the future tracking with God in the mighty name of Jesus. If it's one of our children, if it's our job, whatever it might happen to be. Lord, we declare today together as a body of believers, nothing will sidetrack us from following Jesus and the plan and the purpose that he has for our lives. And we declare that over this church, that nothing will stop this church from following the track that Jesus has laid here in this part of Virginia for River of Life Church, in the mighty name of Jesus, that Pastor James and Crystal will stay on track in Jesus' name. All those that are serving will stay on track in Jesus' mighty name. And Father, we bless you and we give you thanks. And Lord, as we are renewed and strengthened today, Lord, we thank you that you take away any kind of fatigue, you take away any kind of discouragement. Lord, we put to death any kind of thought that is contrary to the will of God. And we thank you, Lord, that you renew our strength, make us mount up with wings like eagles, run and not grow weary, and walk and not faint. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord, for the track that you've laid for us. We call it a blessed track. It's leading upward. Amen. It's leading upward. It's leading us into blessing. And we give you the praise and the thanks for that today. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen.